America's healthcare advocate, Carrie Hall.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. My producer behind the microphones, Mr. Garner Calgary, he is here today in the Cumulus Studios. I am announcing today that we have moved our radio show to Cumulus Radio here in Kansas City, 95.7 FM, 710 AM. We're extremely happy to be here in these beautiful studios in this beautiful building. This is where I actually started 16 years ago. It was a little different then, but we're really happy to be here. Dave Thiessen, my producer behind the camera, puts all this together, puts it up on the 15 podcast platforms and on YouTube. So welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here. I also want to thank Donna Baker, Bill Ryan, and Lynn Brindazzo, the people who actually made the move and got me over here. They did a great job, made all this work very smoothly. Like I said, we're really happy to be here. We also want to welcome our newest affiliate in Topeka, Kansas, KMAJ, 1440 AM. Very happy to be on the air up there as well. AmericasHealthcareAdvocate.com is the website. If you have a question, comment, or email, please go to the website and send us an email. We would be happy to answer it. Also, if you are chronologically challenged or looking for health insurance, the lovely Carol Lee Steele at RPS Benefits by Design is happy to help you. 877-385-2224. All right, today's show is a continuation of that show we did a couple of weeks ago on the murder of Brian Thompson, UnitedHealthcare CEO. And what happened was the Wall Street Journal put out a whole separate article as a follow-up on this thing, and it's about three pages long. We're going to go through that today and talk about the things that they are saying that are going on in healthcare. And in studio with me is my dear friend and guest, John Stockton. A little bit about John. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Carrie, for having me.
Well, it's great to have you up here. John Stockton has 35 years of employee benefits health insurance experience. John is a healthcare innovator and a leader that has spent his entire career in leadership and strategy roles. John has a passion around improving the quality and efficiency of healthcare in the United States. He's also worked extensively with healthcare systems, creating their own product strategies. Now, look, the reason I asked John up here was I wanted someone who has been in this industry for a long time. He's actually been in it as long as I have, okay, who could talk about this from the carrier side, where he has been with major carriers in this country, and can talk about how all of this fits together and why do we have all these problems and what is all this frustration that people are experiencing and venting toward the health insurance carriers, which has kind of exploded on social media. It's quieted down basically on traditional media, but it exploded on social media after this with people like Taylor Rentz and other people, CBS commentators talking about he either deserved it or it's understandable. None of that is correct, but it's important to step behind those comments and look at the facts. So let's start off with this little piece in the Wall Street Journal. Actually, it's not very little, but nonetheless, that's where we'll start. So they start off by interviewing a doctor. This is interesting. Now, he's a doctor who left UnitedHealthcare. You could call him kind of a disgruntled employee if you wanted to, but he offers an interesting perspective, which is why we're going to start there. Like most doctors, Nicholas Jones prefers to diagnose patients after examining them. When he worked for the UnitedHealthcare Group, the company frequently prepared a checklist of potential diagnoses before he ever laid eyes on the patients. UnitedHealthcare only did that with family physicians who were in the Medicare Advantage programs and were recipients of Medicare Advantage. The software wouldn't let him move on to a second patient until he had gone through that particular checklist and did what he was supposed to do. Now, John, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you go in for a doctor's visit not so long ago and you told me you were in there for about 8 or 9 minutes and the doctor turned away from you while he was talking to you? He was over here typing in on a computer. He was doing exactly what they're talking about here. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The member experience right now is the average office visits. Mine was 7 or 8 minutes and half of it, his back was to me.
Yeah.
Doing exactly what you described.
And I'm going to go through and explain why they're doing this. They're doing this for a couple of reasons, but most of it is driven by what is required of them, especially with Medicare Advantage. We're going to focus on that today because that's what this article's about. By what's required of them by CMS, or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The government Medicare Advantage system uses private insurance to provide health benefits to seniors, disabled people, and pays companies based on how sick patients are to cover higher costs of sicker patients in Medicare. It calculates sickness scores from information supplied by the doctors. So back to what John just said and what I said. They are supplying information that creates scores. What are these scores? These are the scores that are used, okay, by Medicare. When you look at one of these plans and it's a 4-star score or it's a 3-star score or it's this coveted 5-star score, that comes right out of this information that these doctors are providing when they're sitting in there going through their patient portal and adding this information in that they are required to do by UnitedHealthcare. Okay, so that they will get higher scores, which result in what? Let's go through that. So the scores are typically higher than those people that are on traditional Medicare. Yeah, they are, because on traditional Medicare, the doctor's not required to do this. He's only required to do it on Medicare Advantage plans. All right. The journal's analysis of Medicare data from 2019 to 2022 showed UnitedHealthcare patients increased 55% on average in their first year versus a 7% average for Medicare Part A and Part B. So that's how this all ties together. All right. This system is set up so that in order for the carriers to get paid, all right, in order to earn that star rating that's dictated by that's dictated by CMS, they have to go through this process. All right, we'll keep going. All right. A spokesman for UnitedHealthcare said in a written statement that the company's practices lead to more accurate diagnosis and greater availability of care and better health outcomes and prevention, including less hospitalization, cancer screenings, and better chronic disease management. How do you react to that, John?
You know, Kerry, it's how our system is aligned, and it's aligned where the incentives aren't in the right direction, and it's for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it is. And so as a result of that, what this article, and I'll keep going through this because I think it's important to illustrate and understand these, all right? So they go on to say, in a series of articles, the journal examined practices of Medicare Advantage companies. Now, I want to point something out. What's happening here is these insurance carriers are setting up their own primary care practices. They're buying up primary care practices. The hospitals are doing it too. So let's go through it. UnitedHealthcare has Optum. That's their in-house, their clinics, their primary care centers, all right? Humana has CenterWell, and Blue Cross the Blue Shield of Kansas City has SpiralCare. So all of these carriers are doing this now in the Medicare Advantage system. SpiralCare, by the way, since Blue KC is no longer in the Medicare Advantage business, those clinics service everybody that signs up for a Blue Cross and Blue Shield plan that wants access to them. Let me keep going. And as I said, the series of articles examines this whole practice. The largest among other things, the article showed that the diagnosis added by insurers increased payments for the government. The killing earlier of, and this is interesting, of Brian Thompson, chief executive of health insurance division, that triggered the widespread public betting about some of the practices of health insurers. UnitedHealthcare said that he was neither, I thought this was fascinating, he was neither a UnitedHealthcare patient, client, neither were his parents. None of his family involved in UnitedHealthcare. Why he chose to go after Brian Thompson is only known to him and God, I guess. But nonetheless, it had nothing to do with why he did it. So, but again, and here's, this is where this article is going. UnitedHealthcare is being paid more because they're doing more of these tests, diagnoses, all the rest of it. And the big question is it really necessary? And this goes back, John, to this star system rating, which you can sit there and you can point the finger at the carrier. But who put the system in place, John?
CMS.
Thank you.
And, you know, think about it, Kerry. We spend almost $5 trillion in healthcare in the U.S. $5 trillion. And 25% of that is waste. So when you start thinking about the categories of waste, administrative waste is more than a fourth of it. Fraud and abuse is almost 10% of it. Inefficiency is almost 20% of it. It's how our system was designed. And, you know, that 25% of waste on $5 trillion would pay the interest on our national debt. It's that significant.
Yeah. Again, you know, what I'm trying to do here, obviously, is to educate the audience. And you have to understand what the genesis of all this is. When government got into healthcare, okay, these are the things that started to happen. I'm only talking today about Medicare Advantage, but we can talk about traditional health insurance. Sure. You know, we can go right down the list. We, you know, it doesn't matter, all right? But, you know, when you look at where we're at in the system and how we got here, a lot of that has to do with the way this system was designed by the federal government when they brought these carriers in on these programs. Yes?
Think about it. Well, our system is based on sick care. It's after the fact treating symptoms. It's not necessarily proactive health care. And we do not compare favorably throughout the world with our peer countries in that regard.
No, and this in this system, you are paid for each service that you provide. So the more services the doctors and the hospitals provide, okay, the more they're going to get paid. Now, you can argue that the carriers are gaming the system, if you want to look at it that way. But by the same token, if the carriers don't get a 4-star rating and they only get a 3-star rating, then you have people that are looking at, well, which carrier? CMS says that the carriers that have the highest star rating are the carriers we should be dealing with. Right?
Absolutely. And that drives a lot of fraud and abuse in the process.
That's correct. So once again, we find ourselves in a situation where the government is overriding the decisions of the hospitals and the doctors, and they're dictating what should be done and what shouldn't be done. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Stay tuned. We've got more. Don't go anywhere.
The Golden Rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. I'm Steve Keeker, and this is one of the founding principles of my firm, Senior Care Consulting. Since 2002, our value statement has included honor our mother and father, respect our elders, care for those in need, and treat your family as our own. We've been honored to help hundreds of families make one of the most difficult decisions they could ever make, serving them in their greatest time of need. If you're looking for someone who can provide you experienced and objective guidance when searching for a senior care community, reach out today and discover the services of Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2800, 913-945-2800. Know your options and choose with care at seniorcareconsulting.com.
Welcome back to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. You can find out more about us by going to the website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. Also, all these shows are posted on 15 podcast platforms, compliments of Mr. Dave Thiessen and all the work that he does. They are also up on the YouTube platform. And I know that last show that we did on this whole United Healthcare issue and how people are experiencing and reacting to health insurance here in this country sparked a lot of commentary and got a lot of views, okay? And I'm fine with that, all right? That's why I'm doing this. I'm trying to provoke people to think about this system, okay, and where we are in this system and why we are here. Because it's not the narrative that you're hearing out there typically on traditional media. It's not even the narrative that's here in this huge Wall Street Journal piece, which you could say is kind of a hit piece the way they did it. But there's some very important information here, which is why we're going through this. So let's get back at it. UnitedHealthcare has acquired dozens of medical groups over the past decade and a half. Its Optimum unit now employs 10,000 physicians. Its executive has said making it one of the nation's largest employers of doctors. It contracts with tens of thousands more. No other national carrier has hired or as many, all right, has quite as many doctors. Well, okay, that's kind of an interesting statement since they're the largest carrier in the United States. So nobody else would have as many. But Humana, as I said, they have CenterWell, they have their own centers, and they also contract with doctors, and the Blue plans do the same thing. So let's talk about this a minute, John, because when you and I, I'm a little older than you are.
Little.
Yeah, a lot older, actually. But back 10 years ago, 15 years ago even, you went to see your private practice physician, and it was a privately owned primary care physician, and that's who you went to see. I don't know of any primary care physicians And we're in Overland Park, Kansas here today. We're doing the show. It's where I live. It's where John lives. All of the Blue Valley Healthcare, you go down the list of primary care doctors that used to be, they're either acquired by carriers or they're acquired by hospitals. What's happened?
You know, it's created problems from an access perspective, because if you think about it, what UnitedHealthcare is doing with Optum, or what Humana is doing with CenterWell or Blue Cross RespiraCare, is those clinicians are captive to those carriers. It's gotten harder to see your primary care physician. And then you can get into the importance of seeing your primary care physician, who's really the quarterback of all of your care. We all understand why this is happening. You know, there's been a tremendous amount of consolidation in healthcare with hospital systems and provider systems and whatnot. But this this issue about health insurance companies acquiring clinicians has created an access issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, it has. Okay, but let's go on to the second piece, which is kind of interesting. Those higher sickness scores were back. Note how scores continue to be brought up in this piece and talked about. And I'm back to what I said. All right, the scores are required, okay, by CMS in terms of being able to make the reimbursement. So here's what's happened. The higher sickness scores triggered about $4.6 billion more in Medicare payments than UnitedHealthcare would have received if those patients had been in line with the average for the company's Medicare Advantage plan. The system is not primarily taking care of the patient, said Dr. Emily Scott, who worked for UnitedHealthcare in California. It's how do we get more money? How true is that statement, John?
It is what it is. I think it's very true, Kerry, and it's how our system was designed. It's this fee for service just opens up a lot of opportunity for fraud and abuse, and that's exactly what you're describing.
And so, fraud and abuse, and no one's claiming there's any kind of fraud here by UnitedHealthcare or anybody else. But what this article is saying is that UnitedHealthcare is gaming the system to some degree, okay, to drive more revenue. UnitedHealthcare would say to that, okay, that they serve. This is their commentary about that. UnitedHealthcare said its sickness scores trend higher, partly because it plans serve some of the sickest and most vulnerable populations, and it showed underdiagnosis under traditional Medicare led to some differences in sickness scores between the two parts of the program. So they're basically saying that under traditional Medicare, which is only Part A, by the way, and Part B, all right, that's how that works, all right, the Medicare Advantage plans offer a larger group of benefits and a different way of doing it, but they're saying basically that their programs are keeping people out of the ER, out of the urgent care, and are diagnosing cancer and other issues sooner because they're doing all of this, which they're partially required to do, but they're also doing it and they're making $4.6 billion in the process.
And one could argue, and I've heard it dozens of times, Kerry, we have the sickest patients. Everybody thinks they have the sickest patients, right? But I don't think the data would necessarily prove that out.
No, I don't either. And that's the whole, again, the whole point in doing these is to, and doing these kind of broadcasts is to explain to you what's going on behind the scenes. This is the kind of thing that you typically don't see. The average person doesn't see and doesn't understand. And the easy answer is it's all about the insurance carriers. No, I guess you could say it's collusion. To some degree, between the carriers and the government. But I'm going to go back to, you know, what I keep saying. None of this would have happened if we didn't have government in the middle of these health insurance programs, right or wrong.
No, I agree with you 100%, Kerry. And that's what's driving all of our inefficiency relative to our peer countries.
So go back to this comment about $4.6 billion, then back to your comment about we're spending, how much more are we spending on average than the typical country?
You know, we have so much institutional arrogance on how well we do in healthcare in the United States. We spend 16.5% of our GDP on healthcare. It's nearly $13,000 per capita. The next highest country, we're 41% higher than.
But we're sicker.
We're sicker.
We're fatter.
Of the 10 wealthiest countries, we are dead last. So if this system of creating these star ratings truly worked, we wouldn't be spending double our peer countries and we wouldn't be dead last in quality.
Yeah, but unfortunately, and I think this illustrates all of that, we're dead last. The system isn't working. Again, you know, I hate to be repetitive, but, you know, this is the system that the government designed. We haven't even talked about Obamacare yet, by the way, okay, and how and ACA and all the rest of that. That's a whole separate topic, okay, in terms of how it drives the same kind of waste, fraud, and abuse that we see here on Medicare. Medicare just happens to be more obvious, I think. When the Medicare trustees come out at the end of the year and say that there's over 10% waste, fraud, and abuse in the entire Medicare system, I think that's something like $2 trillion. Well, I can't remember the number. It's an absurd number of dollars that are wasted because of the waste, fraud, and abuse. That has nothing to do with how these STAR systems factor into it. Now you add those two components together, no wonder we're number 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sobering statistic when you really study it. And you ask yourself, if we spend 16.5% of our economy on healthcare and our peer countries are spending 10 and 11, the impact of that issue is profound.
Yeah, it is. It's profound, and it begs the question, how do we make this better? How can this be done? How can it be changed? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break in the next segment. We'll talk about, you know, there are a lot of problems here, which obviously I'm pointing out, but we need to talk about how that can change. And when I come back to break, we're going to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I asked John to be up here today, because he's truly an expert in this field. And I think it's an opportunity for you to hear and learn what we can do to improve the system here in the United States. Stay tuned. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. If you've got questions or comments, go to the website. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. In studio with me, my friend and expert in healthcare, John Stockton. Our topic today, we're starting off with this whole United Healthcare issue that's been in the news. There was a big follow-up article in the Wall Street Journal on United Healthcare. Some people might call it an expose. I don't call it that because they used doctors who were gone from United Healthcare to make their points. And I understand that, okay? But there's also another side to this story, and the fact that they're making $4.6 billion more off of the Medicare Advantage plans than they were, you know, years ago by these scores and all the rest. But let me point out a couple things, all right? United Healthcare came back and rebutted that, and here's what they said. Well, we offer additional benefits. Now, let me explain that so everybody understands that. If you're not one of those that's chronologically challenged on a Medicare Advantage plan, you probably don't know anything about this. But Medicare Advantage plans offer a lot of other benefits that they keep referring to the difference between this and standard Medicare Part A and Part B. Well, under standard Medicare A and B, you don't get home health care, in-home health care, if you're disabled or come out of a surgical procedure and you need it. You don't get meals in your home. You don't get gym memberships. That's that silver sneakers that all those seasoned citizens, when you see them in the gym, are probably silver sneakers members who don't pay gym membership. You don't get vision and you don't get dental. Oh, and you don't get those little cash debit cards that let you go to the drugstore and buy your vitamins and your Band-Aids and all the rest of it. All of that is provided through the Medicare Advantage plans, and it's provided by the carriers as incentive to get people to come on their plans. By the way, I'm on a Medicare supplement plan. I am not on a Medicare Advantage plan, and there's a reason for that, okay? But I just want to be clear about this, that not all of that money that they're making flows back into their pocket. They're adding all these benefits so that they can entice people to get on these plans, but this is part of the problem here, all right? So let's go back to this commentary about, you know, what we're spending, where we are, and how that compares to. Obviously, I've used the UK system a lot in broadcasts like this, where I talk about 43,000 people stacked up waiting to get surgical procedures that are waiting 2 years or longer. You know, an average patient is waiting 6 months to get in, or 6 weeks, 6 months to get in to see a specialist, depending on what they are. So obviously, that system, the system in the UK, isn't particularly a working system. But let's talk about systems that where there is a different way of doing this that is actually working. John?
I think here, I think about fragmentation of healthcare. And I'll share my own personal story. When I walk in to see my physician that I've seen for the last 30 years, every time I walk in there, there's roughly 20 people sitting in a bullpen. They ask me the same question, can I see your ID card? I literally tell them, I don't carry an ID card, it's on my phone. They've tried to photocopy my phone. It's just the most bizarre situation. And then so my primary care physician says, do your labs, I do my labs. Well, now I have a cardiologist. I'm somewhat chronologically challenged as well. So then the cardiologist says, John, I need your labs. I said, well, I already did my labs, and this physician's, you guys work for the same company. Why don't you pull up my labs? And he said, yeah, I can't do that. That's our problem. I mean, when you think about fragmentation of healthcare and the importance of the role of the primary care physician, I listened intently, Carrie, to one of your last podcasts on bow tie, the role of the primary care physician and the importance of how they quarterback everything that would take out a lot of this inefficiency. But unfortunately, now we have this shortage of primary care physicians. It's harder to get in to see them. And at the same time, they're dealing with misaligned incentives as well.
So when I talk to a primary care physician, I've had multiples on this broadcast, and Dr. Firuz Dinagashi, who did the Bowtie Show, talked about this. Back to this making money. This is the hospital systems we're talking about now, not the health insurance carriers, all right? The hospital systems want them to see as many patients as they can in a day. Some of these primary care physicians, I may be wrong on this, but I don't think I am, have as many as 10,000 patients assigned to them. 10,000 patients. Now, I'll give you an example of a system where they don't do that. CenterWell, okay, which is the Humana system, their docs are treating an average of 4,000 to 6,000 people annually. That's their whole book. And they have much more time. SpiraCare, the Blue Cross and Blue Shield system. I don't know anything about the Optum system, but the SpiraCare system I know very well. You know, when you go in to sit down with a primary care physician in SpiraCare, you're in there for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, sometimes it's longer than that. So they have made those changes, and they are affecting that. But the flip side of that is this whole issue that we're talking about over here on the Medicare side, and then the hospital systems gobbling up because of the primary care practices. Because I said here, can you name an independent primary care practice?
No, I cannot.
No, I cannot either. There used to be Blue Valley Medical. I mean, you could go down the list. There were 15 or 20. You know, this Johnson's County is the fourth richest county in the United States of America. We had a plethora of primary care doctors. We don't have a plethora of primary care doctors anymore.
And the cost of my office visit went up 30% when they got acquired.
And what did you get for that?
I didn't have a whole lot of choice. I didn't get anything.
Of course not.
I got more fragmentation is what I got.
Yeah. And the system, as you said, you know, it's absurd the way that it works. That you get labs done. I had the exact same thing happen to me. Okay. I went and saw a physician at a weight loss clinic because I was heading toward type 2 diabetes and I was terrified I was going to get it. And so I got on a program. I lost about 21 pounds total and I had my labs done there. And then I went to see my primary care physician. She goes, Carrie, I don't have your labs. I said, yeah, they're over at Heartland. You sent me to Heartland, remember? Yeah, but I don't have access to those. Mm. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? This is all part of why this isn't working, right?
Yeah, and your physician from Bowtie alluded to medical errors being the third highest cause of death in the U.S. Our life expectancy is 31st internationally. I mean, what we're doing is not working, and you just highlighted one of the reasons why.
So what do you see? I'm praying. I really am. I mean that in all sincerity when I say this. I'm praying that this new administration comes in and that they are going to be able to take a look at this. If they do nothing more, this is in my humble opinion, If Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy don't do anything else other than come in and get rid of a lot of this waste and fraud that's out there, doctors gaming the system, and I mean doctors, you know, sending in false reports. These are guys that are literally stealing from the system, not these situations we're talking about here where they're driven by what CMS is requiring or HHS. But we've got all this waste and fraud. If they start cutting down on that, how do you think that's going to affect this whole thing, John?
If we start cutting out the fraud, everything will flow downhill from there and we'll get much more efficient. But that affects a lot of areas of our country and our economy and our defense spending and whatnot. And healthcare is our economy. It's 16.5% of our GDP. We have peer countries in the UK, France, Japan, Germany spending 10, 11%. Think about the fact that we spend 5% more than our peer
countries. Almost six.
Yeah.
What could we be doing with that money constructively versus what we're doing here, which we're not getting any results. If we were spending the money, all right, and you could see people getting healthier and it working better, then you would say to yourself, okay, you were spending a lot of money, but hey, I'm getting something for it.
Yeah, if we had A's and B's on our report card, I don't think we'd be so upset, but we are failing miserably.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
I don't think a lot of people realize how bad we are.
No, and again, that's the purpose of doing this today. And I'm, doing these kinds of shows, whether it was Dr. Denagashi or whether it was the initial show I did in United Healthcare or this piece we're examining today and the other topics we're talking about. The idea is you need to understand this system, okay? Because if it's going to change, the only way it's going to change is by you getting involved, and that means going to the ballot box and voting for people that are willing to make these changes. And so that comes back to how all these carriers, okay, and all these hospital systems have a lot of money tied up in lobbyists. I'm going to give you an example, and you're very familiar with this. So Trump's in office, and he puts in place a bill that Congress passes and a regulation that says hospitals have to be 100% transparent in terms of what their charge master is. Talk a little bit about what is a charge master, John?
Man,
this ought to be good.
Yes, that's a tough one. Yeah, there was some guidance on transparency.
Yep.
And, the charge master is pretty much where you start with your bill charges. And then every insurance company negotiates discounts that start off from bill charges. And those discounts vary, for the government purposes, the government setting the cost of those discounts or the price of healthcare. But I go back, Carrie, to what that whole process creates is, the per capita admin in the U.S. is three times any of our peer countries. So this process we've set up where all these insurance companies have huge departments that spend all their time negotiating prices with health systems. So as a result, we're spending north of $1,000 per capita on admin versus Switzerland or France that are spending $300.
Okay. Now, I hope this is starting to, everybody's starting to understand this, all right? This is the big picture. We come back to the break. We'll continue with this topic, and we'll talk about what the solutions could be. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIA Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Stay right there. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. My producer is Mr. Garner Calgary. He is the man behind the microphones here at the Cumulus Studios, our new flagship station here in Kansas City, 95.7 FM, 710 AM. And Dave Thiessen behind the camera doing the excellent job that he always does. If you want to reach out to us, feel free to do so. Go to the website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. All the shows are posted on 15 podcast platforms. If they're out there, we're probably on it. And also on YouTube. All right, so let's go back to this. On the break there, we talked a little bit about what role do we play in this system in terms of being accountable for our own behavior. I'm going to use myself as an example. I battled weight for, I don't know how many years, 5, 6, last 7 years, and I never had a problem. And then all of a sudden, I started getting heavier, and I knew I had an issue. I went to my primary care doctor and I said, I don't know what to do here. I'm not sure how to manage this. I'm headed toward type 2 diabetes. It terrified me. All right. I'm like, I've been a gym rat ever since the military. All right. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? She sent me to a place called Heartland Weight Loss here in Kansas City in Overland Park. They did a great job. I had a nurse practitioner sat down with me. They put me on metformin I was on it for probably about 4 months. And I changed my eating habits. All right, I did some things that were important. I cut back on my alcohol intake. I added more time in the gym. And I started changing the way that I eat. I've dropped 21 pounds. I'm putting on clothes that I haven't worn for 10 years.
You're fighting weight, Carrie.
I know, I'm I'm down to 229. I haven't been at 229 since I was probably 45 years old.
Congratulations.
But the point is, I had to make some changes. Well, in this country, people don't want to get off their ass and make changes, John.
So, Kerry, in 1985, there wasn't one state in the U.S. of A. that had obesity rates north of 20%. Now, today, there's not one state below 20%. And your change, you went in and changed lifestyle. You were accountable. This is the thing employers struggle with is, you know, how can we attack the 20 driving the 80? There is so much obesity out there, and it's not getting better. It's getting significantly worse as that data shares.
So what do you think is going to happen now? You've got three people that I think are going to have a huge impact on this. Musk, Vivek Swamy, and Robert Kennedy Jr. And Robert Kennedy Jr. is hell-bent on processed foods and changing the way we eat in this country. What do you think is going to happen with this?
You know, what I hope happens, you know, we were just, our family was in Italy. And when you eat in Italy any of our peer countries versus what we eat here, it's just massive differences in the quality of food we eat. There's things that are allowed here in the USA that are not allowed in Europe.
Like?
Those are the things, Skittles, you know, all this food coloring, you know, what you see with the blue, red, yellow, green food coloring isn't allowed in Europe. Pasta is very different in Europe. Wine is very different in Europe. So I'm hoping what this new administration does is comes in and just makes our food, let's get healthy again. Because our obesity rates are going in the wrong direction quickly.
Well, but how many Five Guys do they have in Italy?
Oh, yeah, not a one.
By the way, if you don't know what Five Guys is, if you're somewhere in the country, if you have In-N-Out Burger, it's the same thing, okay? Or if you have Whataburger, it's the same thing. My point in that is that we eat that kind of food. Now, let's get straight here. I love In-N-Out Burger. You know, I love a double animal style any day of the week that I'm in California or Las Vegas, and I happen to love Five Guys. But I eat it once every couple months, maybe, and that's it. Okay.
And what I notice, Kerry, the habits are very different. We drive everywhere. How many people go to the gym and exercise versus, you know, in a lot of our peer countries, these guys walk everywhere they go. And they eat very differently than we eat.
So what does that mean you say? You and I talked about Italy extensively because Lori and I are very much looking forward to going. The food difference.
I think it gets back to a lot of the additives. When people go to the grocery store, they're just buying for that day and it's fresh. They're not loading up on a week of groceries like we do here in the U.S.
They're not going to Costco and getting the big...
No. Everything's fresh. And they get a tremendous amount of activity that we typically do not get. And I think that's why our obesity rates are doing what they're doing.
One of the things that I've talked about in past broadcasts on this show about eating habits is when you go to the grocery store, go to the perimeter of the grocery store. Go to the produce section. Go to the meat section. Go to the seafood section. Go to the dairy section. Those are the places that you buy your food. Not up and down the aisle with what's in cans and boxes. And that's something I started doing years ago, was looking up, like, for instance, my wife told me the other day we were having oysters. We had some fresh oysters, and she said, get this particular cocktail sauce over at Whole Foods. I'm sorry, I call them Whole Paycheck sometimes because it's a little expensive. But she said, get the one that's called 365. It's there. She said, it doesn't have any corn syrup in it. I said, the cocktail sauce that we've been buying has corn syrup in it? Yes, that's corn syrup in it.
Which is terrible for you.
But so look at any soft drink you drink. I'll bet you it's got, unless you're drinking zero Dr. Pepper or zero Coca-Cola or whatever Pepsi is, it's going to have corn syrup in it, right?
Which gets back to sugar, and we consume more sugar than our peer countries as well. And I think some of the things you're getting at, Kerry, is the fact that we need accountability. And is the primary care physician one of the roles in doing that for us to make sure we're getting our activity and we're eating right, et cetera? You've made some massive changes and it shows, but the general population is going in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah, and if we're really going to affect change in this country, then you're going to have to make those kinds of changes that are going to make a difference, or this is going to continue to keep going the way it's going.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're saying, isn't it?
And people taking accountability for their own actions and having some peer support and doing that's extremely important.
So here's where we're going with this, just so you understand how you how does all this tie together. Here's what I'm saying. Is the government responsible for a lot of this? You betcha. Okay, with the health insurance companies, the way they've incentivized them, the way they've structured these systems, you betcha. Okay, so there are issues here where the carriers are responsible and government's responsible. I just went through that for two shows. How about you? Where are you responsible? And that's what John's talked about. Dr. Tracy Stevens, the chief cardiologist of St. Luke's Healthcare, has come on this show with me probably 30 times. And she's always talked about the fact that you have to take responsibility for your healthcare. Well, guess what? We don't. Now, there needs to be changes, big changes in government and big changes by the carriers that has to be brought on. Hopefully, this new administration will do it. But there also has to be change, like John just talked about, as a result of what we are doing as individuals in this country. And unfortunately, we like to take the easy way out. We don't do the things that we need to do. We eat a ton of processed foods that we shouldn't eat. Okay, and we have a diet, and a lot of people don't exercise, and diet and exercise are huge, and obesity in this country is an epidemic in children as well as adults. I hope all of this has made sense to you today. Thank you, John, for coming in.
It's a great time of year to make some change.
It is a great time of year to make some change, and we're hoping that you do that, and we're hoping that what we see come in with this new administration will do the same thing. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, and now I lead you with this thought from Dr. Martin Luther King. Americans must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will surely perish together as fools. Truer words were never spoken. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. Goodbye, America.